Good morning. I am going to talk about CDC's National Public Health Improvement Initiative. So it's going to be more of a deeper dive into a specific program that sits within Liza and I's organization, OSTILPS. Nothing to disclaim. The objectives, hopefully by the end of this session, you'll walk away understanding a bit more about NIFI if you don't already know a lot about it. You'll understand some of the key findings that we're seeing now that we're at the midpoint of the program, and that you'll be able to understand kind of that relationship between accreditation and NIFI and how we, or that particular program supports accreditation readiness, performance management, capacity building, as well as quality improvement. So just to get us all on the same page quickly, NIFI at a glance. NIFI is a five-year CDC cooperative agreement. It is funding approximately, we started out with 76 awardees, we're at 73 right now. Awardees include state, local, tribal, territorial, health departments, and organizations. We are focused firmly on these three objectives you see here on the screen. One is really advancing accreditation readiness, not necessarily accreditation as a goal into itself, but the activities associated with getting ready with the belief that that makes for a stronger health department. Improving organizational effectiveness and efficiency through quality improvement activities, very much focused on using quality improvement, continuous quality improvement, to achieve those efficiencies and effectiveness, and I'll dive a little bit deeper into what we mean by that from an outcome perspective for this program. And then also increasing performance management capacity. NIFI really kind of building on FAB's strong tenet of continuous quality improvement. NIFI's been specifically designed to kind of reinforce those principles and advance that. Oh, I should also say really quickly that this is funded through the Affordable Care Act. I have to say that. So my presentation is going to be really on evaluation results. So what do we know about NIFI in terms of the outcomes we're achieving and how NIFI as a program is supporting achievement of those outcomes? We've been very focused on kind of formative evaluation, learning about the program in terms of being able to make improvements, walking the QI talk, being able to take data from the program and make continuous improvements along the way. But we're also very curious about what outcomes are being achieved and are we on track with regard to the intent of this particular program. Data sources include an annual assessment, which is administered online to all awardees on an annual basis, and then also interim and annual progress reports that we receive from the awardees. Today's data or results that I'm going to share with you will focus on some combination of baseline data, the first year data, second year data, and then also in terms of third year, what awardees reported in their interim progress report. And this is kind of the latest, so you're hearing this and before many others have heard. And I appreciate what Kay said in the beginning that kind of FAB is learning every day. NIFI's learning every day also. And so this data is very important for us to be able to make adjustments to the structure and the design and how we provide technical assistance to awardees and have a strong relationship and look to kind of coordinate our data and make sure what they're learning, we're sharing with them what we're learning, and that we are able to move forward together. Performance improvement managers. Before I dive into the outcomes of the specific programs, I wanted to touch on what we call PIMs. Do we have any PIMs in the audience? I think we do. I saw one. Yeah, we have one. Raise your hand high so people can direct questions to you. The PIMs, hiring a PIM, a performance improvement manager, is a requirement. It's one of the original requirements of the program that every awardee have a PIM in place. And we look to that person as really the champion, the driver between all the activities related to accreditation readiness, performance improvement, and actually just, you know, quality improvement activities. So they work across the organization in terms of moving those activities along. So they're very important. So I wanted to quickly show you, so we pay attention to where their strengths are and understanding who they are in terms of their competencies. So at the very beginning of NIFI, we looked at the Council on Linkage's competencies for all public health professionals and identified 8 of those competencies that were particularly relevant to the role of the Performance Improvement Manager for NIFI. And I know you can't read all those little competencies at the bottom, and I'm happy to share those with you in more detail later. But what I wanted to show you with this is that that of those PIMS who remain stable from baseline to year 2, there are 35 of them. And so we've been paying attention to their self-assessed proficiency along these 8 competencies. And you can see here, it's a nice chart, I really like it, because you can see that out of 7 out of the 8 competency areas, you're seeing this, that the percentage of PIMS who are rating themselves as proficient in these specific competencies is improving. Now, it's self-report, we understand there are limitations with that, but still, it's a nice body of data that tells us that our PIMS are getting stronger and better capable of supporting their organizations in terms of achieving the goals of NIFI. The one area where they're struggling, and you might see that blip where it was pink, high blue, and then went down in yellow, is the use of cost effectiveness and cost benefit analysis results. And in, we're still kind of interpreting the data with this. Why did they rate themselves more proficient at year 1 than at year 2? One theory behind that is that they know what they don't know now. and in that area, you know, cost-benefit analysis, cost-effectiveness analysis is not easy to do by any means. We struggle with it at CDC. I think really this is actually a reflection of their enhanced knowledge around that domain, and they adjusted their self-assessments accordingly. Accreditation readiness. So as I mentioned, this is our goal. End goal is not to have all awardees accredited by FAB. Our goal is to strengthen health departments by having them participate in accreditation readiness activities. And one of those accreditation readiness activities is the prerequisites, the completion of our current health assessment, health improvement plan, and strategic plan for their organization. And I'm happy to report that the majority of awardees have completed or are in the process of completing the prerequisites, with the highest percentage, 88%, in process or having completed health assessments. It's also important to note, you might ask, well, how does states differ from locals, from tribal to territorial? I haven't memorized all the nuances of the different agencies and the percentages, but I do know that in terms of those awardees who have completed all 3 prerequisites, the local health departments that are NIFI awardees are at the highest percentage. I think it's 45% right now. State health departments with all 3 prerequisites in place and current is, I think, 27%. The territories are struggling a little bit here. Organizational self-assessment. So another requirement for our NIFI grantees, which is brand new in year 3, is to conduct a self-assessment against the FAB version 1.0 standards. And as you know, there are a lot of domains, a lot of standards, and so don't have the time to go into all of those, but wanted to kind of juxtaposition those domains where we see the majority of, or at least 50% of, approximately 50% of our awardees who have report meeting all standards within a particular domain, as compared to those where we are seeing that the majority of respondents, or rather awardees, are not meeting any standards. So at the top, we have domain 4, which is engage with the community to identify and address health. We have 57 of our awardees meeting all standards within that domain. And this is based on those awardees that at this point, we're in the mid-year, we only have mid-year data for year 3. So it's, we know now at the mid-year point for year 3 that 32 of our awardees, not the entire 72, have actually conducted this. So it's a subset within. And then we have 48% which is 27 of our awardees, which have met all standards within Domain 7, promote strategies to improve access to healthcare services. So conversely, when we look at where there's opportunity to improve and make progress, we have 62% of the respondents did not meet any standards associated with Domain 9, which is evaluate and continuously improve health department processes, programs, and interventions. And you might think, well, isn't that what NIFI's all about? So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And I hope I gleaned some insight from all of you during the discussion period also. And then also, Domain 8, maintain a competent public health workforce. We have 50% of the respondents, or the awardees in particular, who did not meet any standards within that domain. And this, as I mentioned, this is a brand new requirement of NIFI. So when we get the end of year three, we'll have more data and hopefully more understanding of what's happening around there. So speaking of Domain 9, the other two big goals of NIFI have to do with performance management capacity building, as well as quality improvement, specifically with the hopes and the intent of improving agency efficiencies and effectiveness. It has a nice crosswalk with our Domain 9. And I'll tell you a little bit about what we're seeing here. So we have a requirement that the awardees participate in performance management related activities. One area that we are specifically asking them about is performance management system. So we're defining the system. If you have all components in the system, you have strong performance measures in place, you have performance standards in place, you have regular progress reporting going on, and you have ongoing quality improvement activities integrated into your operation of your organization. And what we see here when we look at baseline year one, year two data, that from baseline to year two, in terms of having all four components, which is a big lift, that's a big achievement actually to have all that. I know at CDC we struggle even with performance management. We've increased from 10% at baseline to 22% at year two. We don't have our year three data on this yet, but it does give you a sense of the nice steady improvement with those grantees that are reporting on all four components. Now you might ask, well, the data is looking kind of funny. We've got some fluctuation across where we're looking at the establishment of specific components. We did reach back to our awardees to get a better understanding of what's going on there. And again, it was what we heard back from them was the example of, or the instance of, we didn't know what we didn't know before. Now we do, and now we're adjusting where we are placing ourselves in terms of having established concretely one of these components. Quality improvement activities. So another requirement, and actually the year three, there are two, each awardee is required to have completed two quality improvement projects. We are looking at quality improvement projects in terms of being effectiveness-oriented or efficiency-oriented. In terms of the effectiveness-oriented, we've developed a framework that further articulates types of effectiveness-oriented outcomes along, I think that's six different classes. We have, our framework has six classifications: quality enhancement, increased customer satisfaction, increased staff satisfaction, increased reach of service delivery, who are the services going out to, increased preventive behaviors, and a decrease in incidence or prevalence of disease. So during year two, we had 57 awardees focused on various types of effectiveness-related activities. So that's, and they're not mutually exclusive, so there are some people who have a particular quality improvement project that is tackling effectiveness outcomes as well as efficiency outcomes. But we have 78% of our awardees as of year two focused on effectiveness-related activities. Of those 57, the majority are focusing on quality enhancement and increased customer satisfaction. And quality enhancement is a tricky outcome to kind of define. And so wanted to let you know that we are in the guidance that we put out to awardees. Quality enhancement is defined as fidelity to evidence-based practices, which I think my colleague here to my right will be speaking about more. Any kind of enhancements or improvements in the accuracy, completeness, accessibility, of data associated with their health information systems, adherence to established standards, procedures, protocols, or the consistency in which they're able to meet established standards. In terms of efficiency, again, the framework has further defined what efficiency-oriented outcomes look like in terms of five areas: saving time, reducing the number of steps in a given process, reducing staff hours associated with a task or process, saving money, increasing revenue, and then there's another category also. And here we have 80% of the awardees as of year two working on efficiency-related outcomes. Of those, you can see with the blue chart there that the majority are focused on saving time or reducing the number of steps. Some concrete examples of what I'm talking about in terms of these efficiency and effectiveness outcomes. The first two bullets, the ones provided by New Jersey Department of Health and Virginia Department of Health, report using Plan, Do, Study, Act, which is one of, you know, at least with our awardees, and I think broadly within the public health community, is one of the quality improvement methods most utilized. But they both tackled efficiency outcome-oriented. New Jersey, looking at reducing the number of steps from 28 to 14, required to mail penalty letters to healthcare facilities. And you might think, okay, well, that also should save time. It probably does, but in terms of right now, in terms of the data that they could report to us, that's what we know about it. Virginia Health Department, again, used PDSA cycles, and they tackled human resources-related tasks or procedures, as well as procurement. In the case of human resources, they reduced the number of people required to do a specific task. It went from 20 to 3, which is incredible. And then in terms of their procurement processes, reduced the amount of time associated with that by 43%. And Oklahoma, again, used PDSA in the area of preterm birth. And here, this is an effectiveness-oriented outcome that's very clearly focused on that, reducing incident or prevalence of disease. And those are kind of our holy grail outcomes that we look for, where we can actually get that line of sight between the activities NIPI grantees are doing all the way to kind of like a health outcome. And then I just wanted to share a little bit with you and let you know that NIPI support, our grantees reach out further. So we have 51% of our awardees that are using approximately $5.5 million to actually support other health departments and agencies with regard to implementing NIFI-related activities. So they're kind of spreading and hopefully sticking NIFI's goals and supporting other agencies. You can see here in the sub-bullet where those sharing and support is happening. Over 1,000 local health departments, almost 140 county health departments, and it goes on. So this is a big part of it in terms of really kind of creating, kind of having NIFI go beyond just the walls of the awardees. Just some takeaways. At this point, we're in the mid. We are preparing our mid-program evaluation report. We're at the we're kind of reflecting back now. We've been focused very much on learning what we can from these awardees so that we can improve our technical assistance and our structure of the program. We'll be shifting much more to focusing on summative outcomes, the impact of NIFI along those three objectives. But we clearly at this point can see awardees are conducting activities to increase accreditation readiness, specifically around those prerequisites. And we are seeing awardees intending to apply for accreditation or moving from the preliminary kind of awareness educational activities to more concrete steps now, moving towards achieving accreditation. And awardees are working to incorporate quality improvement to their organizations, and just being able to kind of have that more at a cultural level within their organization so they have a culture of QI and performance management. That's all I got. Oh, before I end, I want to acknowledge, one, the CDC NIFI leadership and program staff, also the awardees who give us this data so that we can learn, and then also our partners, and I think Sarah Gillen left, she was here, the National Network of Public Health Institutes. This is really a collaboration between NMPHI and CDC in terms of conducting the evaluation.